It's Monday, April 6, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. and continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. Glad to have you here for the beginning of another exciting week in marijuana law reform. We've got some great ideas here upcoming for some events that are happening here in April. Of course, April 15th here in the United States is tax day, the absolute deadline for you to turn in your personal income taxes. And you know how on tax day, your local news station is always down at the post office with their cameras catching the desperate people who are the last second tax filers? Wouldn't it be cool if those cameras should happen upon a sign that says, "Legalize and tax marijuana"? We've got that idea at Normal's Tax Day protest. Check out our post at stash.normal.org for the link for you to get your signs and more ideas on how you can maximize the media exposure of the IRS deadline to further the cause of ending adult marijuana prohibition. And with the economic times like they are, with states scrambling to make up budget deficits and looking for new creative ways of turning a buck for revenue, this could be the kind of protest that would get a lot of attention from your local TV news cameras. Check it out, Normal's Tax Day Protest at normal.org and stash.normal.org. And of course, after tax day, we've got the weekend and the day of 420, the Cannabis Liberation Day, the official holiday for those of us in the cannabis community. You're certain to have something going on in your area, and if you'd like to let the rest of the cannabis community know about it, send us an email here at stash@normal.org, and we'll post your 420 event on our Activist Agenda calendar, which is available at stash.normal.org/agenda. This will give people a Google map to be able to find where your event is taking place, and they can add it to their Google calendar with just a single click and get reminders so they don't forget to show up. Let's promote 420 all across the country. Tell us what you're up to, and we'll post it on the stash. I also want to say howdy, y'all, to my friends in the great American South. As Normal's national outreach coordinator, it is my goal to have a 50-state strategy. I want a strong and effective Normal chapter in every state in America. And this week, I'm taking a look at the South. I've got a whole bunch of chapters that are looking to form or just getting formed in South Florida, Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Kentucky. If you're in any of those states, send me an email at chapters@normal.org, and I'll put you in touch with the people who are starting those chapters in the South. We need the great southern states speaking up for an end to adult marijuana prohibition, and that's the place where the most minds need to be changed so you could make the biggest difference nationwide. Give me an email, chapters@normal.org, and the South will rise again to fight marijuana prohibition. Now, coming up on today's Daily Audio Stash, it's our Pot and Politics Day, so we're going to be taking a look at some reports in our hemp headlines from the BBC on the violence inherent in the drug war in Mexico and comments by the Mexican president that suggest that there is corruption in United States officials that is leading to the profits of the drug war? Who would have thought it? Also, we're taking a look at public opinion polls that have recently been released in the media showing an upward trend toward the support of legalizing marijuana nationwide. In our Pot and Politics interview segment, we're going to be speaking with Perry Stripling from Willamette Valley Normal in Eugene, Oregon, talking about 34 different bills in the Oregon legislature concerning marijuana law reform. It's a lot to keep track of, and we've got four chapters in Oregon keeping track of all of it for you. It's Message Monday for our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com. Today's tune is some nice reggae featuring Daddy Roots. And like we always do on Monday, we focus on the normal chapters out there that are making a difference in their local areas. Today we're taking a look at Inland Northwest Normal in Spokane, Washington, and speaking to the executive director, Kevin Oliver. This chapter's just gotten off the ground, so if you're looking to start a chapter, you could get some good tips from listening to Kevin. It's going to start getting real busy between Tax Day, 420, and the upcoming Global Cannabis March, and then right into the summer festival season. So hang on tight. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. Mexican President Calderon, U.S. officials complicit in the drug trade. The U.S. news media has begun to report on the violence in the drug war in Mexico. But you gotta leave it to the British and BBC network for getting a different perspective on our drug war. And most particularly, they got an amazing quote from the president of Mexico, who directly accuses some U.S. officials of corruption in allowing the drug trade to continue. This from the BBC.
Well, we've reported regularly on the frightening level of violence perpetrated by Mexico's drug gangs, making vast profits smuggling narcotics into the United States. Now, the president of Mexico, Felipe Calderon, says the huge sums of cash have corrupted some U.S. government officials. He says they've contributed indirectly to the rising death toll from the drug war. Tons of cocaine are trafficked across the border each year, much of it through the city of Ciudad Juarez.
This is a city under military occupation for its own good. Until 3 weeks ago, Juarez was the battleground between two of Mexico's biggest drug cartels. But now the army's sent in reinforcements and the violence has dropped by 70%. Juarez used to be a late-night place with people thronging the streets and filling the bars and restaurants. But at the Good Time Bar, times aren't so good. Only a few die-hard regulars are in tonight. Outside, the army and police cruise the streets and set up checkpoints. It's eerie and unsettling, but it's a lot better than the kind of thing that's been happening in Mexico recently. The Sinaloa cartel from Mexico's Pacific coast is trying to muscle in on the local drugs lords in Juarez, who control the smuggling routes across the American border. The fighting has quietened down now a bit, but the police are still caught in the middle. And at the Juarez morgue, it's business almost as usual. This is the latest arrival.
And these have all been murdered?
Right here, yes. We have some more in the refrigerator.
The Mexican army took us up over Juarez. It's the city's great misfortune to be so close to the United States, the world's biggest consumer of drugs. El Paso in Texas is only half a mile away.
But it isn't really here that the drugs come through. It's much more difficult to get them through the urban areas. It's out there in the open countryside. That's where hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants go, and that's where the drugs go too.
What comes back into Mexico is money and guns. 90% of the guns used in Mexico's drug wars are smuggled across from America.
Why are you?
Very nice to see.
Mexico's president thinks American officials must be on the cartel's payroll.
It is impossible to pass tons of drugs or cocaine to U.S. without some grade of complicity of some American authorities. There is traffic in Mexico because there is corruption in Mexico, and that is true. But with the same argument, if there is traffic in the United States, it is because there is some corruption in the United States.
If that's true, it means the Americans will have to start thinking the unthinkable. They've already accepted that the demand for illegal drugs in the United States is the cause of the problem. But the possibility that the drugs trade is corrupting their own system is very disturbing.
LA Police Chief, why not regulate marijuana? Los Angeles Police Chief William J. Bratton isn't some run-of-the-mill beat cop. This man has the kind of record that most officers would envy. Bratton served in Vietnam, holds a BS in law enforcement from UMass, graduated from the FBI National Executive Institute, and was a senior executive fellow at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. Don't get me wrong, this man is no friend of the kind, but the situation that law enforcement is in has obviously gotten unsustainable in his eyes. Bratton said Wednesday at a Parker Center news conference, quote, "I think that the policy of the federal government at this time is unfortunate. I think the policy of this state," referring to California, "is Looney Tunes. While I fully support its use for medicinal purposes, why don't we regulate it like we do Lipitor or Viagra? You can't buy those two without getting it through a legitimate pharmacy. If this drug is so important and so helpful, why is it not regulated like every other drug?" End quote. Bratton is crying out for a directive that he can follow. He wants to beat pot smokers' heads in, but he can't figure out how he can do so. It was so simple just a scant 20 years ago. If you found pot, you locked the citizen up and gave him a record that would haunt them until the day they died. Now his deputies have to check cards and give back plants to patients. You can't even bust a dispensary anymore without some mob showing up to harass you. The simple point that Bratton makes is a telling one, that the war on marijuana is unsustainable, and it might as well be treated the same as any other medication, or alcohol for that matter. And this echoes what I've heard when I talk to cops at Seattle Hempfest or Portland Hempstock. One of them said, "I wish you guys would just legalize it. This half-and-half thing, some medical, some not, is just ridiculous. Either everybody goes to jail for weed, or nobody goes to jail for weed. But the way it is now just makes our jobs a whole lot harder." And he's got a point. Why is the guy in a wheelchair a patient, but the guy who can walk is a criminal, if they're both smoking a joint? Because the second guy committed the crime of being too healthy to smoke pot? Why marijuana legalization is gaining momentum. My favorite statistician, Nate Silver, who accurately predicted the 2008 President, Senate, and House races, has put his thinking cap on for marijuana legalization and seems to have found a trend that is very positive for our cause. More important to the policy debate, however, may be the fraction of adults who have used marijuana at any point in their lifetimes. This is a dual-peaked distribution, with one peak occurring among adults who are roughly age 50 now and would have come of age in the 1970s, and another among adults in their early 20s. Generation X, meanwhile, in spite of its reputation for slackitude, were somewhat less eager consumers of pot than the generations either immediately preceding or proceeding them. Polls have generally found a strong generation gap when it comes to pot legalization, as members of the silent generation are replaced in the electorate by younger voters who are more likely to have either smoked marijuana themselves or been around those that have. Support for legalization is likely to continue to gain momentum. So after reading Nate Silver's analysis, I then turned to a poll that was just released last week that was commissioned by Oaksterdam University in the state of California. A majority of voters indicated they would vote for a measure to allow cities and counties the option to tax and regulate cannabis and make adult cannabis consumption legal. 53% supported, 41% did not support, and 7% were undecided. The economic benefits of taxing cannabis persuaded many voters to support the proposed ballot initiative. And of those who supported taxing and regulating cannabis, 50% said it should be regulated the same as alcohol, 40% said more strictly than alcohol, 8% less strictly than alcohol, and 2% were undecided. Now, all of this leads to some work that I'm doing for Keith Straup. He's coming out with a new book this fall, we hope, about his history with Normal and marijuana legalization. And he asked me to crunch the numbers on all of the legalization polls that we could find, dating all the way back to 1969. And I've got a graph of these up on the blog at stash.normal.org. And it's going to take a little tweaking here and there. We may add or remove some data points from time to time. But barring any major shift in public attitude, it looks as though we might have majority support by the 2012 presidential election. Now, that's based on this current analysis, and it might change. There's another analysis I've done that doesn't show a greater than 50% support until 2028. But either way, if the best case is 2012 and the worst case is 2028, that means over the next 5 presidential elections, the marijuana legalization question is going to be asked more frequently, and those who oppose it will gain less support. Last week, the founder of the Daily Audio Stash and original host, Chris Goldstein, got a chance to sit down and speak with Representative Barney Frank, Democrat of Massachusetts, and Representative Ron Paul, Republican of Texas, arguably the top fighters for marijuana law reform in our House of Representatives. The entire interviews can be heard on Chris's show, Active Voice Radio, which you can check out at activevoiceradio.com. He provides some clips for us to give us some highlights. First, Chris asks some questions of Representative Frank.
Last year in 2008, you co-sponsored legislation H.R. 5842 and 5843. Let's start with the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act. Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the federal government would no longer be in the business of prosecuting state-authorized medical marijuana patients. That seems like a discretionary policy. Are you going to be reintroducing the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act this year?
Yes, I am glad that Mr. Holder had done that. It's a return, actually, to the policies of Janarino, but we still need a law because, to put it bluntly, we can't always be sure that there'll be a Democratic president. And I know it's fashionable to say, oh, let's not talk partisanship, but the record is very clear here. Under President Clinton, Attorney General Reno did not go after people in the medical marijuana area. The Bush administration came in, and John Ashcroft immediately began prosecuting, and I would say persecuting people. Now a Democrat comes back in and they've stopped it. So it is true that as long as you have a president like President Obama who's going to have an attorney general who's reasonable, we don't have the problem. But we can't be sure of that, and therefore the law is still required in my judgment.
Righto. And many states are considering medical marijuana as we move forward here. The provisions within H.R. 5842, how would that protect patients?
Basically, it says that if a state says it's okay, it's okay. You know, my conservative friends like to talk about states' rights, but they mean the right of a state to agree with them. When the state says something they disagree with, whether it's marijuana or assisted suicide in Oregon or elsewhere, or allow same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, they support efforts to cancel it. Essentially, my view is that the state should decide what it wants to do, and the federal government should defer to the state.
Well, what do you think Americans can do the best out there to sort of help the economic crisis overall?
Well, actually, that is maybe the one way that making marijuana more available would help, because as more people got the munchies, it would increase food consumption, and you might pick up some of the expenditures at supermarkets and restaurants. What people can do is not be afraid. They shouldn't do anything either to or for, because they want to help the economy.
Next up, 2008 presidential candidate and Congressman Ron Paul, Republican of Texas.
You have co-sponsored legislation to protect medical marijuana patients. We saw Eric Holder, the Attorney General, stand up and say that the federal government would no longer interfere with state-authorized medical marijuana programs or patients who are operating under state law. Is that discretionary, or do we need some legislation to really firm that promise up?
Well, that should be enough, but I understand he hasn't followed his own promises. Let's hope he does, but I guess the legislation would fortify it and put more pressure on them, but he could do it himself. He just shouldn't prosecute these cases and argue that it's not a constitutional function, but nobody's compelling him to do this. So the administration has a lot of discretion, but it's just too bad that they even pursue this, because I take a strict approach to the whole process, believing that this is a state function and that the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction.
Is that what medical marijuana comes down to, is a privacy issue, a state's rights and a privacy issue?
For me, basically, and in freedom of choice on difficult subjects, you know, such as, using substances that might not be generally accepted by the public because somebody believes it helps them. So they make the choices rather than government bureaucrats. And that's the way it should be done in a free society, but we are not exactly a free society anymore, so we're always asking the government to make our decisions for everything we eat and drink and smoke and whatever.
You mentioned drug warriors. Do you think that that's going to change? We've heard a shift. We heard Hillary Clinton talk the other day about not using the phrase war on terror. Are we going to lose that phrase war on drugs soon, too?
Well, let's hope they change it, but not just change the title. Sometimes they do that. But even though we might be cautiously optimistic about some changes, at least we were hopeful, and now we don't know where we stand. But overall, I've generally been optimistic that the country will eventually wake up and see the futility of all the drug laws. And I think the sentiment is changing in the Congress. I have taken this position for a long time. I have a district which is very, very conservative, and it's never been held against me. And most of the politicians in Washington, if we have some token vote on marijuana, they won't vote, you know, on the side of freedom of choice. And yet the members will come to me and they admit that we're right about the issue, but they said there's no way they want to go home and try to explain that. It's this political mentality that it's a killer if you don't vote that way. What about this whole thing about hemp? They won't even vote to legalize hemp. And that of course, is just an offshoot from this war on drugs. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. But they wouldn't dare vote for legalizing hemp, no matter how much arguments. But I'm hoping this whole thing will change. There are some hearings that are planned on the drug war. And it'll be on one of the subcommittees I'm on in the Foreign Affairs Committee. So maybe some good will come out of this shortly.
For the entire uncut interviews with Representative Paul and Representative Frank, they're available online at Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. You can get the exact links through our post at stash.normal.org. And don't forget Chris's radio program at activevoiceradio.com.
I smoke some marijuana with some people I like, just like everybody does from the East Coast to the West. I didn't even notice the cop on the bike, didn't know I was about to be the 20 millionth marijuana arrest. Should have fought for marijuana law reform, should have gone to the web and typed in Norm. Norm to the L.org, Normal drop the A.org, baby.
National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws is the largest grassroots drug law reform organization in America. So every Monday we visit with the activists in drug law reform who are fighting for our freedom. Get motivated to get it regulated. Join us in some political activism today. You can start by visiting norml.org. My home state of Oregon was one of the first states to pass protections in law for the medical use of marijuana. And since that time, over the intervening 10 years, there has been a lot of tinkering with the law, especially by opponents of medical marijuana who would like nothing better to go back to the good old days of just arresting every pothead they find, or at least in their opinion. So here to discuss the latest legislative assault in Salem is the deputy director of Willamette Valley Normal from Eugene, Oregon, Perry Stripling. And welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Russ. Thanks for having us on.
Now, first of all, Willamette Valley Normal, headquartered in Eugene, Oregon. Tell us a little bit about your chapter, when you meet, and how people could get in touch with you.
Well, the best way to get in touch with us is through the internet. Our website is www.v-normal.org. Our phone number is 541-517-0957. So those are two good ways to get a hold of us. We meet every fourth Saturday of the month at Herbs Toasted Subs in Eugene, Oregon. And you can find out the location of that by visiting our website and all. So those are the best ways for folks to hook up with us.
Yep. I made the trip this weekend down to the meeting for Willamette Valley at Herbs Toasted Subs. And I got to tell you, folks, if you're in the area, you ought to go to the meeting just to go to Herbs. It's this sandwich shop. The entire theme of it is all cannabis related. There's posters all over the building about, Thomas Jefferson, what he said about hemp and what are the facts about medical marijuana, and all the sandwiches are named after strains and the salads come in nickel bags and dime bags. It's a really fun place where you guys have your meetings.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have such a resource, a business entity that's willing to be so upfront about their cannabis law reform beliefs. So, and as well as let us use the facility for our monthly public meetings. Yes, we're very fortunate there.
Yeah, it's something that aspiring chapters, new chapters out there should think about, is that there are businesses out there that are willing to help, and sometimes they're not always in the niche that you might think, like head shops or musicians or anything like that. Sometimes it's as simple as a sandwich shop.
Yeah, and we're going to, build on that and reach out to the other businesses in that community and post them on our webpage, let folks know that these businesses don't hate us and that they should not mind spending their dollars there, for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the legislature down there in Salem. Oregon probably has the most active agenda as far as legislative action on the marijuana front. How many bills are in play right now?
Well, there's 35 bills on our list, and there's two more added as I was out looking last night to update it. So we have a total of 37 bills involving marijuana in play here in the Beaver State.
And the majority of them bad?
Yeah, you can say that. They typically are tinkering with one element or another, and the end result is going to be more people involved in the injustice system.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we the people are going to be paying for these things. Now, it's important, though, for folks to go look at it, because there is some babies in the bathwater, and we don't want to just toss it all out. For example, Oregon does have a hemp bill in play this year.
Excellent.
That's Senate Bill 676, and folks can, again, visit our website at w-v-normal.org to catch up more on that and the others. Another element, and we, you know, we, to some we can throw out like that. There's also Senate Bill 285, which is to reschedule marijuana in Oregon. And that's an interesting concept we hope we can share with the other states to try, too.
Great. So there's a couple of positive bills that are coming out there. What are some of the negative bills? And we can't go over all 37 bills, of course, but no. what are some of the ones that are getting probably the most traction and that you're worried about the most there in Oregon?
Well, there's a couple of them that are really indicative of prohibition, and we, you know, want to let folks know about them and knock them down. There's one that's going to prohibit cardholders from being legislators. It's to submit officials to a drug test and then allow your medical marijuana card to get in the way of disallowing that. There's also one to make secondhand smoke illegal, so if someone smells the pot smoke from these evil sick people, they can go hunt them down and punish them. There's also Senate House Bill 3274. Ostensibly, it's to set up the state as a dispensary, but an important element of it is it takes away the private grow gardens.
Uh-huh.
So it disallows the patient gardens, and supposedly you're going to go to the state to get your medicine, and my bet is that they're going to disallow the patient gardens and never get the state garden up. So effectively, this is just to kill the medical marijuana. And some other lowlights, there's a series of bills designed to automatically fire medical marijuana patients or allow employers to fire them. Senate bills 426, 427, and a whole slew of others. And then there's the collection of bills by law enforcement, Senate bill 956, 957, so forth. And those are things to drastically alter the medical marijuana program, essentially to gut it. It sets up stuff like everybody must submit to an inspection by law enforcement at their whimsy. They don't have to get a warrant or any of that nature. They can just come in. And if you refuse it, they get to take away your card.
Hmm.
So that's one bill that law enforcement wants to get in there.
Wow. It's amazing looking at all these different bills coming through that legislature when it would seem to me that, you know, just living in this state, that the general public has a pretty high regard for the medical marijuana program and supports it. Do you see that?
Well, definitely. Both on the, you know, street and talking with people, the response we get from people getting with the program, as well as the surveys that are conducted out here at all levels. It constantly ranks up there in 80 percentile.
Hmm. So how does law enforcement then go about trying to build up public support for these pretty draconian measures?
Well, they do a lot of deceptive practices. Their one attempt in 2008, they had a bill that they touted as protecting folks against internet crime and all those things. And at the very bottom, they had a little clause that changed the OMBA program to a synthetic marijuana-based thing. And they never mention that. As they're trying to get people to sign their petition, they just talk about these other criminal acts that they're trying to prevent. So it's generally done by sneaking things in and lying, pretty much.
Hmm. Law enforcement seems to believe that the medical marijuana program in Oregon, especially with its fairly large possession limits and plant limits compared to some of the other programs nationwide, they seem to feel that this has led to a great deal of abuse and attracted a criminal element. Care to respond to that?
Well, that's back to the same old reefer madness, the same old set of misinformation that got this war started in the first place. That's, you know, not happening. They go through a great deal of effort to publicize every abuse of the program. And when it comes down to the cold hard numbers, there's only been like 90 arrests and convictions out of the 20,000 cardholders. So that, you know, puts it actually at an extremely low abuse rate, particularly when you compare it to other similar drug-related programs, like there's the Vicodin and other medical drug-related programs, and their abuse rate is extremely much higher. So the cries of law enforcement that the program is being abused are total falsehoods.
Yeah.
Further, you know, they talk about the number of people in the program and that is a sign of its misapplication. When the fact of the matter is that some 600,000 people actually qualify for medical marijuana in the state, and with only 20,000 actually getting their cards, that's hardly overworking of the need there. So.
Yeah, so it seems like then the problem law enforcement has with the program is that it works?
Yeah, basically. It's not to say that these individuals that purport to be representing law enforcement actually don't represent the rank and file, because the cop on the street, you know, when we're out gathering signatures or we're boothing and we're distributing literature And we need to, got set up on a sidewalk, and we may need to adjust our thing. We have encounters with law enforcement, and we get more than a few who, see the truth of the matter and are sick of this silly war.
Mm. Well, the efforts are still going on in Salem. We want to get everyone involved. So check out the website, w-v-normal.org in Eugene. Just one of many normal chapters working in the state to fight against this. And we're trying to get all of them together to work on these things and to help to defeat this bad legislation happening. Perry Stripling is the deputy director and secretary of Willamette Valley Normal, joining us from Eugene, Oregon. And thanks for taking some time out of your day to talk to us, Perry.
Well, thank you and helping us to get the word out, Russ.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you. The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music, to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Daddy Roots brings us Message Monday's song, Make Love Not War, nominated in 2008's Marijuana Music Awards. Daddy Roots is an international reggae star from the West Indies. He has performed around the world, including touring the U.S., Canada, Africa, Asia, and Europe. Happiness, Daddy Roots' latest CD, is being met with rave radio reviews across the globe and is one of the most added CDs to radio stations nationwide, with plays on over 60 radio stations. The CD is groovy and bouncy, mixed with reflective songs. Daddy Roots' popular, unique sound is a blend of reggae, dance, and pop. His videos have appeared on MTV, and his song, Weedy Wop, won the LA Music Awards Best Reggae Song. Daddy Roots' songs have been played on TV, movies, and recently in a popular iPhone game that's been downloaded 3 million times worldwide. Of his own musical vision, Daddy Roots says, I seek a happy vibration in the form of pop and dance reggae. Listeners get to travel with me through my varied musical emotions. Who wants to come? End quote. For more about Daddy Roots, check out myspace.com/DaddyRoots88 and DaddyRoots88.com. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this song. It's Daddy Roots with Make Love, Not War.
So much war in the world, northwest and east, though they negotiate, still they can't.
can't get no peace. So they call the Rastaman to get his opinion and decide to throw a party and invite everyone. Through the state of affairs and the tense position, please someone please call the Kaliman. There's a party going on on the other side of town. Everyone is invited. Let's just bring your herd and come. First came a legal sativa, Colombian gold and sensimilia. Northern light shines at the party, from Morocco to Timbuktu. Still they can't get no peace. So they call the Rastaman to get his opinion and decide to throw a party and invite everyone. To the state of affairs and the tense position, please someone please call the Kaliman. Bill, we come join the party. Sky the Chinaman, Chinsu, French, Italians, Germans, and North and South America, yeah. Some from the Caribbean too. Who ain't got a spliff sucking on the chalwa of hydroponic Australian sativa? So light your chalice of arbitration. Yeah. Tonight we're floating round the world. Ooh, yeah, yeah.
People come together.
There's a party in the window.
Let's make love and not war.
There's a party going down.
People come together.
There's a party in the window.
Let's make love and not.
War over here, war over there. Let's get together and show we care. Too much fighting over here and too much fighting over there. What happened to the love that we once did share? Too much war over here, war over there.
I'm a normal guy. I like the outdoors. I work a 9-to-5. And I use marijuana recreationally and responsibly in the privacy of my own home. Recently, I became one of the 20 million Americans who have been arrested for a marijuana-related offense. Now I face jail time and my future is in jeopardy. But couldn't police resources have been spent more wisely? After all, 90% of all marijuana-related arrests are for simple possession. Is this normal?
What makes Normal the most popular and effective marijuana reform organization in the world is the dedicated political activists at the grassroots level who make up our Normal chapters and college affiliates all across America and around the world. The people at these local Normal chapters are just like you, average cannabis consumers with an above-average desire to fight for truth, justice, and freedom. You can make a difference in your area by joining your local Normal chapter. If there isn't one nearby, get yourself and four friends to join National Normal, then send an email to chapters@normal.org, and we'll get you started on forming your own normal chapter. Then what? Well, listen in now to someone just like you who's already formed a normal chapter in our continuing Monday segment, Chapter of the Week.
Political activists standing in the streets now. Political activists are crying for justice.
Today we get to take a look at a chapter in the Great Pacific Northwest that's doing wonders in marijuana law reform. It's Inland Northwest Normal, based out of Spokane, Washington, and we're speaking to the executive director, Kevin Oliver. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Russ.
Well, first of all, let's tell people how Inland Northwest Normal is functioning. How'd you guys get started, and what are you up to lately?
Well, how it's functioning is labor of love, I assume, like a lot of normal chapters are. Raising eyebrows and opening conversations in groups of two or three or 20 to 200. So it just depends where we've got our booth positioned or our banners being flown.
Oh, excellent. You talk about having a booth. You're participating in some events, I suppose, then. What are those events?
The summer holds Promise Forest down at Riverfront Park. It's a central park in Spokane, Washington, across from City Hall. It has a carousel, year-round attractions, an IMAX theater. It's a former World's Fair site.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It brings in this region, on a weekend, probably 5,000 visitors a day on average. And they have a vendor fair, or a vendor market, they call it, where people are allowed to, with a business license, of course, solicit their wares, whether they be some flags or sunglasses or slushies or T-shirts or what have you. We're going to be sponsoring the normal booth down there, of course, just handing out literature, maybe selling some T-shirts, whatever we can, to open up that conversation and bring people up and out, you know, up to the booth and then out of the closet to start talking about it, because it, as you know, I mean, it's like bugs to a light. You turn it on and people start smiling.
Oh, they sure do. Especially when you have a well-run booth with a lot of information, people just eat that up. They want to know more and more about the growing truth about cannabis. I suppose this is stuff that you guys will have up on your website when people want to get involved with it. So what is your website address?
Well, the website address can be searched by a simple Google. I mean, as easy as marijuana in Spokane, I should be on Google or Yahoo or any of the big search engines in the first page or two. Of course, Inland Northwest Normal, the proper website that I prefer to promote is innormal.org. So it's just innormal.org.
All right, innormal.org. We'll send people out there. So how long has your chapter been in existence?
About a year.
Okay, when you first got the chapter started and you were going through the process of beginning the chapter, how did you find that process? And was it difficult, or do you have some advice for maybe someone who's trying to start a new chapter?
Well, of course, you can go to the website and get on the Start a New Chapter link to print out the requirements. And, of course, calling the chapter coordinator, which I guess is the position you hold now.
That's me.
Doesn't hurt either. And then it's whatever state you're in, I suppose. In Washington State, there's a few dots and I's to fill out for a nonprofit, which is the cheapest filing of any license in the state. It's like $35 versus an LLC, which is $125, you know. So it's relatively simple. I mean, I'm looking at just a couple of pages. The only thing that required even a little bit of real homework would be, you know, each individual group is required to, according to the membership requirements of the national organization, have their own bylaws. But the national organization, when you get a starter kit, sends you a copy of their bylaws, and really by changing a few words, basically all I've done with everything, because Normal is practically a franchise, you can get those bylaws honed into your local town, state, however, well, of course, once National Normal proves that, you're in.
That's right. That's all it takes. And really, every chapter is kind of like its own independent little cell in this battle to end adult marijuana prohibition. So what kind of things are you guys trying as far as getting to the public, letter writing campaigns, or do you lobby for specific laws or changes to laws?
Well, of course, the Internet is a wicked tool for communication, and it's the 90s trend that really hasn't gone out of style yet. But so our emailing list is relevant. Whenever I get a newsletter from National Normal, I copy paste it and send it out and make sure all the links are active. I don't try to pretend that I authored anything I didn't. Also, so that keeps people informed in Washington State, which you may or may not know, there's been some activity in the state legislature. A bill was introduced simultaneously in both the House and the Senate to decriminalize marijuana, like it is in Seattle, which I know you're familiar with Seattle.
Sure.
The lowest law enforcement priority up to 40 grams. They tried to take that statewide, and I know it got a full due pass recommendation from the Senate, but one of the co-sponsors of the bill, Alex Wood, wrote me a letter that said it's probably not even going to get heard in the House subcommittee. So there's that. So we of course, the national site keeps people abreast in their local regions about what's going on. All you have to do is sign up for a newsletter. And as a chapter director, of course, I take any information I can and disseminate it. That's really the only position I see myself filling as in my role as a Normal chapter coordinator. And spreading that information then to get people to click through to tickle the senators or congressmen to make sure they vote. I know we got a large percentage of our email base to click through because I've got an email tracking, you know, that tells me who clicks through and who doesn't. We also have a sub-chapter starting up, kind of a wing chapter at one of the local community colleges. They need 5 kids to petition to have any kind of student club on their campus. They got 200 students, so they're going to have a 420 awareness week. We'll be lending our booth, our materials, and our banners, our voice to a large gathering of the student body to just talk about marijuana reform, which is interesting because they'll be helping us knock on doors when we try to bring a lowest law enforcement priority campaign to Spokane, since it obviously didn't pass state level yet. Whatever we can do really to spread the word and turn that light bulb on, because people, you know, they see it and they light up.
That's right.
See their faces light up. It's like, I am so happy you're here. The Normal name is recognized. That's why I wanted to get into Normal. I think one of the first questions you asked me is, you know, why did you get into this? Well, I've been attending Seattle Hemp Fest for the past 5 or 6 years, and I've jaw dropped, wide open, blown away. And it's like, this is bigger than the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah, I tell people all the time that if they haven't made the pilgrimage to Seattle to the Hemp Fest, they got to go because it will change your perspective.
If you Google world gatherings of people, and I say Google, although my Yahoo is my homepage.
That's okay.
It's just the plug. I know this is a widely heard podcast, so somebody from those corporations will hear me.
Yeah, maybe they'll drop us a dime, huh?
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
But you can see Mecca is huge. It gets a couple million people a year, and there's a few other religious gatherings. And while Seattle Hemp Fest might not have millions, the fact that it brings in, you know, hundreds of thousands for one purpose and one thing only, you know, the marijuana reform movement, it's significant and it's historical. And in this moment, it's huge. And I don't even think people realize the gravity of bringing that many people together for a demonstration and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, and you have the Seattle police there patrolling, and everybody's friendly, and there's very rarely any arrests. And the guy in charge of that city's police department's being confirmed now as the attorney general, or as the drug czar. So who knows how that'll turn out.
The model of law enforcement priority work in a city, and you know, I'm sure you've been following it too. Everybody has with great keen interest in the movement. And although he was against it, he has to say, well, politically, it does work.
Yeah.
And, of course, his predecessor, Norm Stamper, is quite famous in the movement for being a lead member and saying the whole on drugs is totally insane.
Absolutely. And the Seattle Hemp Fest, for the folks that don't know, it's always on the third weekend of August. So this year it's on, I believe, the 15th and 16th of August. And I'll be there along with all the folks from Normal.
Like I said, I've been going a few years, and I know people at, a lot of the people that throw that party. And they've got some, I'm sure you've been to the speaker soiree.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, without giving too much away, it's like paradise in a lot of ways for that event. And it blows, you know, they really know how to put on a marijuana reform event.
Yeah, I'll testify to that.
Yeah, so, and I don't need to go into too much.
I think we can just leave it right there.
It is beautiful, and I'll see you there.
Okay. Kevin Oliver is the executive director of Inland Northwest Normal in Spokane, Washington. Check out the website at innormal.org. And hey, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity for the just another voice to be heard.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.norml.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes. This one comes by way of Mr. Spoff and is attributed to Marquis de Lafayette, the French military officer, general in the American Revolutionary War, who said, quote, "When the government violates the people's rights, insurrection is, for the people and for each portion of the people, the most sacred of the rights and the most indispensable of duties." End quote. No one here is calling for a violent insurrection, but we need to change this country and the direction it's headed, with imprisoning more of the world's population than any other country. It's time we return to being the land of the free. Oh, and by the way, as a guy of French descent, who often hears the taunts of how America saved France's ass in World War II, let me just remind you that was just payback for us saving America's ass in the Revolutionary War. Thanks for downloading the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Au revoir.